Congregation, prayer is a wonderful gift of God, a wonderful gift of God. And like so many wonderful gifts, it can be very badly misused. Sex is a wonderful gift, but highly destructive outside of marriage. Wine is a wonderful gift, but too much and the gift is corrupted. And the same is true of prayer. Stop and reflect for a moment how wonderful it is that we can, either out loud or in our minds, speak to God. It sounds so ordinary when we describe it like that, but how amazing it is that you and I, very ordinary people, can talk to the God of the universe, to the one who made it all, who made us, who sent his Savior into the world, God enthroned above the heavens. And we can talk to him. If that doesn't give us a sense of amazement, then I think something's wrong with us. Prayer is a wonderful gift, but like all good gifts, it can be misused. And Jesus wants us to enjoy and to use the gift of prayer in the right way, to enjoy the gift as God has given it to us. And so he teaches us how to get it right. He gives us instructions. He helps us to avoid various potholes that we might discover on the road ahead. And so over the next number of evening services, we want to learn to pray. We want to learn to pray by listening to the instruction of Jesus. And so this evening we're going to begin by looking at this general introduction to the subject of prayer that Jesus gives us here. And then we're going to zero in and move our way through the Lord's Prayer itself. And so as our introduction this evening, let's consider the words of Jesus. Let's listen to his warnings and let's orient ourselves and our hearts in the right direction. And there are three things that should characterize our prayers that we want to look at this evening. And the first thing that Jesus teaches us is that our prayers should be sincere. Our prayers should be sincere. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Friends, Jesus begins by telling us, teaching us, what prayer should not be like. And he gives us two examples of prayer that lack sincerity. Prayer that actually has nothing to do with God. Nothing at all to do with God. Well, God's name is used. God's name's used. The language sounds fine. The words are for noble and good things. Nobody could fault the choice of words. The theology in the praying perhaps is letter perfect. So what's wrong? Well, what's wrong is that the audience of this prayer is not God. This person Jesus describes is not praying to God at all. They are speaking to the people who are around them. But they are praying rather for the benefit of those who are listening in, those who are eavesdropping on their prayers, those who are nearby, those who are within earshot. And the goal is to be highly thought of by others. They are seeking recognition and approval by others in society or in the church. And it's clear that that's the goal, maximum public exposure by the two examples Jesus uses. The first of those, standing, praying in the synagogue. Prayer in the most prominent of places. Not the sort of prayer we read of earlier in Luke, in the parable that Jesus told us. Not prayer in the distance. The tax collector went and stood at a distance. He did not even look up to heaven. He stood at a distance. Not so this first prayer, praying standing in a synagogue to be heard. Perhaps it's praying on the street corners. You know that Judaism had set times for prayer. Three times daily the Jews would pray. But these people that Jesus speaks of are people who have perfect timing. They have precision timing. It's like they have a built-in GPS and clock all going together in their mind. And bang, the moment the clock strikes 12, where are they? It's time for prayer. On the corner of the street. You've got an audience, not just on the one street, but you're at a crossroad, you're at the corner of the street. You've got maximum exposure. They've made it to the street corner. They can stop to pray and they can be heard from all directions. This is the very opposite of sincere prayer. It's praying to others, not to God. And Jesus gives us an assurance. If you pray like this, you will gain the reward that you're seeking. That's what Jesus says, doesn't he? He says, you will gain your reward. You're after a reward through praying. You will gain it, and you will gain it in full. God will not hear your prayers. You may develop a bit of a reputation amongst your friends or others at church as being a good prayer, someone who is obviously very pious, and other people will look up to you, be a very Christian person. You'll be a model for their prayer lives. That's your reward. And God will utterly scorn your prayers. Your prayers will have about as much effect as if you had written them on toilet paper and given them the almighty flush. That's about how effective your prayers would be. But isn't this equally an easy trap to fall into? To pray in order to be thought well of by others. Have we done it? Have I done it? Our motives and almost anything we can possibly think of are rarely completely pure, and so the answer is probably yes for us all. There have been times when I have thought about how others would think of what I prayed. I may have been praying to God in moments like that, and you may well have been too, but still, we can have been thinking a little too much about other people. One of my lecturers at the RTC once spoke, I think just a classroom devotion. He was speaking about the dangers of verbally assenting to prayer, giving our amens and our mm-hmms as we're praying. And that's not at all wrong. Don't misunderstand me at all this evening. I'm not discouraging you from doing so either. But there's a danger there as well. That's especially evident. You see, it can lead you to experiment and discover what sorts of prayers gain the approval of other people. What sort of prayers do other people think, that's a good prayer? What prayers make others think well of me and my ability to pray? And you can start to pray to other people rather than to God and to God alone. And so we learn to pray in the right way when we pray sincerely, when we pray to God, not to other people who may be listening. Our prayers should be sincere. And hand in hand with that comes the second thing that Jesus teaches us regarding our prayers, and that is that our prayers should be secret. Our prayers should be secret. Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. First, you might be tempted to think Jesus is condemning all forms of public prayer, or all prayer in public altogether. Perhaps to avoid the problems of insincerity, to avoid the problems of praying to the people who are listening, who are in the audience. Just don't do it at all, Jesus could be understood to be saying. Just go into a secret place and then only pray to God. And yet Jesus can't be meaning that, because prayer, public prayer, is commended in the Bible on so many different occasions. Many prayers are offered in public without any form of condemnation. Jesus himself was about to go on to teach out loud to his disciples how they might pray. He does that by offering them a model prayer. So Jesus can't be saying this evening that individual prayer is the only sort of prayer that you should pray. But rather, as we see from looking back at the previous verse, what God hates, what Jesus is condemning here, is people who parade their private devotions in public. Another reason why Jesus can't be saying that you have to pray in a special room in secret is many of the houses in Jesus' day only had one room. So what Jesus seems to be saying is, keep your private prayers private. There is a time and a place for everything. When it's public prayer time, it's okay to pray in public as long as you're sincere, of course. When it's private prayer time, find a private place to pray. Find a place where you won't get easily distracted. I don't recommend praying in front of the TV or praying late at night when you're tired on your bed. Those prayers never go on for very long, do they? Find a place where you can focus your attention on God. After all, private prayer is just between you and God, after all. You want to keep distractions to a minimum because we all know how easy it is to drift off in prayer. You probably know that's especially true in church. So you want to find a place where you can concentrate on your prayers rather than just drifting along and daydreaming. The other reason why we want to find a private place is because Jesus tells us, he reminds us, that God, the Father, is unseen. You know, one of the great things about Christianity, one of the great things about Christian worship and Christian prayer is that it is completely portable. We don't need to lug around statues of our God or prayer chains or prayer mats or anything like that. We don't need to lug along statues because our God is unseen. And so any room, any place will do as a place for prayer. You don't need to find out which direction is Mecca or Jerusalem. You can pray anywhere. So pray. Pray in secret. Pray in private. And God will reward you. He will reward you. That's what Jesus says. How will he reward you? Reward you in what way? God will hear your prayers. God, the creator of the universe, will listen to you when you pray. The God of the universe will pay attention. He will hear and he will do what is best. And as you grow closer to him, your relationship with him will grow. You'll know greater peace and security and comfort in your life. And over time, you will experience awe and intimacy, growing awe and intimacy with God. So pray to him. Pray to him regularly and on your own. Don't allow public prayers, be they prayers at a meal table or in church, to take the place of your own prayer. You can't develop a relationship with God just listening in to somebody else. Our prayer should be secret. The final teaching that Jesus gives us here is that our prayer should not only be sincere and secret, but that they should also be simple. And when you pray, Jesus says, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Prayers should be simple. Jesus has given us the right attitude for prayer, sincerity. Jesus has given us the right place for prayer in secret, as well as obviously in public as well. Now Jesus gives us the right words for prayer. Our words should be simple. The particular temptation that Jesus is referring to in his time was the practice of pagans to keep on babbling the names of their gods. They had a prayer and they would pull out, metaphorically, they would pull out the list of all the different gods they knew and they would rattle through the list one after another, hoping that they would mention the right one, the one responsible or who had power to do the particular thing that you wanted. So you would rattle your way through the names of all these gods. That was certainly one temptation. Or it could be that their prayers are like verbal diarrhea. Endless words just pouring out without ceasing, thinking that that will impress God. Many pagans felt that if you prayed long enough, you could bludgeon God into giving his agreement. Just keep praying and eventually, boom, you're going to break through to God. That idea was even attractive to some Jews. Rabbi Levi is recorded as having said, whoever is long in prayer is heard. This attitude is not necessarily died. And it's not necessarily died in church circles either. Perhaps you live with that assumption. That if you pray long enough, you will eventually batter down heaven's doors. Jesus says to us, do not be like them. regular, brief prayer is good. Otherwise, you may very easily turn prayer, which is a gift, you may take a gift and turn it into a work rather than a gift. Where you think that if you pray long enough and often enough and with all the right sorts of words, then God will do it. God will answer your prayer, otherwise he won't. So I better pray lots and long and... Well, perhaps your temptation in prayer is different but related. Have you ever found yourself before praying good words to God? Right words? Holy words? Well, I know I have. And then you catch yourself and you realize that these words have just been coming out without any thought. Or certain phrases become the language of prayer. And so we pray, bless Mrs. Jones, whatever that means. We have traveling mercies. We have blessing the hands that prepared meals. We can dress up our prayers in special language. And we no longer really understand what we're praying. Jesus says to us, to those of us who struggle with that temptation, be simple in your prayers. God already knows what you need. So ask for it, yes. Have a conversation with God about what's on your mind, yes. But prayer is not a speech contest. God isn't judging our words with a score out of 10, and the higher up you get up the list, the more likely it is that God will answer. There's no need for us to dress up our requests in flowery language. Another good reason to use simple language is so that we might avoid intimidating others. Yes, I know our prayers are to be sincere. We're praying to God and not to those around us. But think of a prayer meeting where we might come together and pray together. We invite and maybe we're willing to offer a prayer up as a group. And if we pray long, if we pray right out of the prayer textbook, then others, even though that might not be intended by us, might feel like their prayers are not up to scratch, they haven't learned the right words, they haven't got the phrases to say and things like that, and they'll hesitate to pray. You'll discourage other people from praying. Even it'll feel to them like their prayers are inadequate. Don't discourage others in their prayers. So let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Yes, we are praying to God, but we are also praying together. Prayer is a gift. Let us learn from Jesus how to pray so that we might not misuse the gift. So let's pray sincerely, not trying to impress other people, but genuinely with a heart towards God. Let's pray secretly out of a genuine relationship with God, not putting on airs for public consumption. Let's pray simply, not overly long in an ordinary language. But above all, let us pray.